Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title with the theater.
This is Dr. Lori Lind, and I am the managing director of Shakespeare Opera Theater.
Yes, and we're talking to Shakespeare Opera Theater. It's in Virginia, and because we're going to be talking Much Ado About Nothing, which is coming July 14th through the 23rd. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Delighted to be here.
All right, before we get into the actual show itself, set like the stage with like the overview of Shakespeare Opera Theater. Like, where exactly in Virginia is it located? You know, how long it's been around, all that kind of good stuff.
So I founded it in 2015. I'd been traveling the world singing opera, mostly the works of Verdi, but my original love was Shakespearean acting. Fatefully, my acting teacher and voice teacher sat next to me at one of my early recitals, and they decided that I should become, rather than a Shakespearean actress, an opera singer. I didn't know anything about opera, so they took me to see Rigoletto, and I fell out of my chair. I was so excited, and I said, oh my gosh, I think this is what I was put on the earth for. And so I started doing opera, but I realized that some of the great Shakespearean works had been set by opera composers. And that was just, that heightened the drama even more. And so as I, you know, wanted to settle down, buy a house, I love Northern Virginia. It's just a great place to be. And so I settled down in this area and I thought, why not bring my loves together, love of Shakespeare and love of opera, into this culmination, sort of, as the Germans would say, Gesamtkunstwerk, which is, you know, just where all the arts come together in a really great piece, that theatrical piece. And so I started doing it. People thought I was crazy. Some of the actors quit in the first year because they thought I was crazy because I wanted them to sing opera and vice versa. It was just awful for about 2 years. And then, you know, people sort of started getting on board with it. I'm just very stubborn and have a lot of perseverance, and just in the face of so many people saying no, people saying you're crazy, et cetera, I said, you know, I really think there's a market for this. And I really think people are going to enjoy this a lot. And people that love opera don't know that they actually are Shakespeare lovers and vice versa, because the arts really have a lot to teach each other. Both of those art forms, classical acting and classical singing, they're very similar. There's also a dearth of training for young opera singers in acting. They've had to cut so much of the acting out of opera. And I think that's a real shame and a real disservice to the operatic art form. It's already about a 5-year degree to get a degree in opera. And then, you know, when they add in a bunch of acting training too, it just gets to be too much for people. So, but that's a shame. And then they come out of school and they don't know how to act. And those of us that are trying to hire opera singers are just, we don't know what to do, you know?
Right. You got to be able to do, but you got to sing and act.
Exactly. Exactly. So, we have been, we started out just sort of wandering, as you know, Northern Virginia, wherever we could find a venue. And then we eventually landed at Grace Episcopal Church, which is in the Plains of all places in Fauquier County. The new rector there is really into the arts, and I don't even know how many arts groups are there now. We still make our pilgrimage there to do our show. We do usually one or two performances there just because that was our incubator, and they really got behind us and helped us, especially Weston Matthews, who's the rector there. And so that really gave us a wonderful venue to sort of, you know, try things and see what worked and what didn't with our audiences, and what they enjoyed and what they didn't enjoy. And also gave me, you know, I mean, I wasn't trained up as a director. So along the way I directed some shows, but really in the last, you know, we've been in existence for 8 years now, believe it or not. And we lasted through the pandemic, which is a testament of its own.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I know, right. We had some donors that came in and helped us stay afloat, which was just amazing. So in that way, that, you know, we always want to pay homage and go back out to Fauquier because they are, we're our incubator, and we have a following out there. You know, we always sell out our shows out there. But now we have a venue in McLean, and that's opened up, you know, people from inside the Beltway to be able to come and see our shows. And I've become the minister of music at St. Thomas Episcopal Church, which has opened their doors to us. They pretty much let us take over the entire church for about a month, which is amazing. And you know, one of the reviewers last year said that all of us make a joke out of this now. They said that we transformed an otherwise dingy church hall into a beautiful venue.
Nice.
So the minister and I always laugh about how dingy our church hall is, you know.
Yeah, is that a backhanded compliment? You're like, am I supposed to say thank you or hey? But either way, I think it was probably meant as a compliment to the show, but yeah, who knows. But anyway, for this particular show, Much Ado About Nothing, so you're saying it's going to be at St. Thomas Episcopal Church on at 8991 Brook Road, McLean, Virginia, on Friday, July 14th, Saturday the 15th, and Sunday the 16th. And then you'll move back out, pay homage to the former location at Grace Episcopal Church on Main Street in the Plains, Virginia, on the 22nd and 23rd. I got those dates right?
That's all correct.
Awesome. So you're still doing both venues. Great, great, great. One more final bit of overview before we get to the show itself. Like, how many people are in the company, you know? Like, when you perform these shows, you know, what's the band of the troupe here?
So we call it the Dirty Dozen. We usually have 12 people. Nice. And they sometimes double up on roles, and they all sing opera and they all act Shakespeare. I mean, it's just, they're amazing, amazing performers from all over the US and sometimes the world. Our Beatrice in Much Ado About Nothing is originally from South Africa. And we have several New York singers come down. There's someone from Texas. There's someone from the Midwest. It's become very competitive now for performers. They really, really like doing it.
That's so cool. You get people from all over the country. That's really cool. So see, folks, you got to come on out and you'll see some of the best talent around. You mentioned the name Beatrice. So let's go ahead and dive into the actual, you know, the storyline in case maybe, I mean, people probably read it. It's Shakespeare. It's a classic. People might have read it in school or seen it in some production of it at some point in their lives.
Maybe.
But just in case maybe there's, you know, some newcomers, two love stories, two romantic pairings here that the story deals with?
Right. So in the operatic version, which is called Béatrice et Bénédicte, and we do some of it in French just to pay homage to the Berlioz. But we do have surtitles for the parts that are in French, but all of the spoken part is the original Shakespeare. In the Berlioz, there is no problem with Hero and Claudio, who are the, you know, the main romantic couple. They're just a little bland. Whereas Béatrice et Bénédicte, or Beatrice and Benedict, they are they're in the middle of what's known as a merry war of wit. So every time they see each other, they have to throw barbs at each other. And as Benedict says, every word stabs.
Every word stabs.
Right. They used to have a relationship and something happened. He went off to war. And apparently before that, they had broken up. Something went down. We don't really know. Shakespeare never really says. There's just a few things that they say. Beatrice says that he broke her heart. He took her heart and then he broke it. And so she doesn't, you know, she doesn't like him very much anymore. And so all she does is want to insult him and be disdainful towards him and tell him how awful he is in every possible way. And the whole town of Messina sort of knows that, you know, keep these two apart because otherwise we're all going to have to sit and listen to this horrible argument. So, and that's pretty much what happens at the beginning. They come back, they're victorious over the Moors, which was the final battle, was the Battle of Granada in 1492, when the Prince of Aragon and all of the troops of Italy finally got the Moors out of Spain.
And if you've seen Seinfeld episode, it's actually the Moops. It's a misprint on the card. Do you remember that? The bubble boy tells George Costanza, no, it's a misprint. Yes, the card says Moops. All right, bring it back on track, as you were saying.
Sure. So the two couples are Beatrice and Benedict. And actually, our hashtag on Twitter is Have You Benedict.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I made that up.
Nice. I'm very proud of that. Nicely done.
So they are, you know, like I said, in a merry war with one another. But of course, their close friends decide that the best and most funny thing that they can do is get these kids that hate each other to fall madly in love with each other. And so a lot of the plot is what happens with that. Then the foil to the comedy is Claudio and Hero. And of course, you have to have a villain, and that's Don John. Don John is really unhappy that his rebellion was put down by his brother, the prince. He's his bastard brother. And so he wants to get back at him. And Claudio is the Prince of Aragon's protege. So he wants to ruin Claudio and Hero's relationship. So he tells that he shows them actually at a window, supposedly Hero and another, a lackey of Don John, having relations with Hero. And so during the wedding, he humiliates her. Claudio humiliates Hero. And it's very dramatic and very upsetting. But of course, a priest comes to the rescue and says, let's pretend Hero's dead so that Claudio and the prince will feel really sorry that about what they did. And then, of course, she's not really dead. And they contrive to have a new wedding with the supposed cousin of Hero. This is all very Shakespearean.
Yeah, of course.
All very Shakespearean, the plot. It's all very operatic as well. Very convoluted, but it all comes together in the end. Happy ending. We would say it's not appropriate for the under 10 crowd. There are some risque elements and there is a little bit of violence, but it's not something that most tweens haven't seen, certainly.
Right, this day and age for sure. I mean, a lot of the stuff out there. All right, cool. Well, that's sort of the you did a nice plot breakdown, if you will. It's a lot. You did it well. What can we say musically? I mean, because obviously it's opera, so it's sung through and everything, but like, what could we say? How would you describe the music? I don't want to say like what songs are there, because it's not like a musical, but you know what I mean? I don't know. Speak on the music a little bit if you can.
So Berlioz is one of the most revered French composers of all time. Unfortunately, the way that most opera comique was done in the early 19th century, Berlioz was a bit constrained by that, although later on he broke out and wrote all kinds of interesting forms. He was constrained by the form of opera comique at the time, which is sort of French operetta. So he had to leave out a lot of the dramatic elements, but the music itself is so gorgeous. And it really does speak well of the Shakespeare. Berlioz, of all the French composers, really nailed Shakespeare in a lot of ways. He later wrote a symphony of Romeo and Juliet, which is considered a masterpiece. This is an earlier version where you still get the beautiful Berlioz music, especially for female voices. There's no one that compare. His harmonies are amazing. We have a trio with Ursula, Beatrice, and Hero that is unbelievably phenomenal. Just one of the most beautiful pieces you've ever heard in your life. And then there's a duo with Hero and Ursula. Ursula is the female character I didn't mention. She is sort of the maid of the household. She runs the household. But she sings with Hero on this duet that is just breathtakingly beautiful. And just to hear those pieces alone. But then there are wonderful choruses. There's a funeral chorus called Viens, Viens. That's amazing. There's also just the wedding chorus that goes on. I did a translation of that. So some of my English translation is in the music, but a lot of it is in French, and we have surtitles projected so that people can understand what they're singing. So it's right. It's very accessible. We always want to make it accessible and enjoyable. We're very audience oriented. We want people to have a good time. We don't expect it to be this stiff kind of, you know, sit in your seat and, you know, enjoy that, you know, supposedly enjoy it. A lot of the time that's a little stiff for people. And when we're talking about classical theater and classical music together, it really doesn't sound like a good time to a lot of people, unfortunately.
But this is for the masses.
Right. But we want to make it a good time because Shakespeare had it in mind that it was for everyone. And we really want to make that, you know, and we also want to keep the ticket prices reasonable, which we're able to do because of donations that we receive, but it's all individual donations. We don't have corporate sponsors. We want to be true to the art form. And the more people that put their fingers in the pie, the less we can be true to the art form. So we rely on individual donors and ticket sales alone.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure we all appreciate you making it accessible for the Shakespeare fans, for the opera fans, and the regular Joes who might stagger into the church. final seconds.
So it's in the parish hall.
Parish hall. Okay.
And we actually set it up like a cabaret. So you can sit at a table with your friends or by yourself and meet some new people. It's sort of cruise ship seating, as it were. And then we have wonderful food from Baguette Republic. They make whatever we ask them to make. So for this, we're having Sicilian and French food as a nod to both Berlioz and the location, which is in Sicily.
Awesome. So it's you actually, well, I don't want to call it a dinner theater, but you know, it's like you're going to the Copacabana or like a cabaret, table seated food and enjoy the show kind of a vibe.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Well, I have more than enough to work with, obviously, for my purposes. So let's just end by pretend I'm not here and you're talking directly to our listeners, like, you know, as they're riding in the car listening to TOP. Just be like, you know, hey, DC, Virginia, Maryland, let's say DMV. Hey, DMV, come on out, you know, and you're going to have a good time.
Hey, DMV, come on out to Shakespeare Opera Theater's presentation of Much Ado About Nothing with music from Berlioz's Beatrice et Bénédicte. It's going to be a great time. We hope to see you there.
Awesome. Again, it's St. Thomas Episcopal Church in McLean, Virginia on the 14th, 15th, and 16th, and then over at Grace Episcopal Church in the Plains, Virginia on July 22nd and 23rd. Much Ado About Nothing. Check it out now, and then maybe we can catch back up later this year. I guess you're doing Hansel and Gretel. We can talk to that later this year.
That'd be great.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jason.